The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kubale Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kubale Ogbayani alongside Paul Brecht. Happy Tuesday. Oh, yay. You know what? The one thing I haven't said yet is I can't believe it's March now. But we're already a few days into March. And here we are rocking and a rolling. As you heard, I guess myself say in that promo, we will bring you coverage of HPU men's basketball in the Pac West Conference tournament this week. This Thursday, Paul Brecht will be on the call for HPU versus Azusa Pacific. HPU locking in the number 3 seed and playing the number 6 seed in Azusa Pacific. So game time is 10:30 a.m. Before that, we have a very special Sharks Weekly featuring HPU men's basketball head coach Jesse Nakanishi and Mai Dusanich. But don't worry, we're not bothering them that close to before game time. We did get a chance to talk story with them yesterday, but it will air on Thursday. So following this show in the morning, you'll hear HPU Sharks Weekly featuring men's basketball. And then about 15 minutes after the conclusion of that show, we'll have Paul Brecht jump on air and be ready to bring you not only their game, but it's the opening game of the PacWest Conference tournament. So be sure to listen live at 10:30 a.m. Hawaii time. Mahalo to our sponsor, Sports Travel Hawaii, for making this happen and supporting the HPU Sharks. Also our sponsor throughout the season of HPU Athletics, Hawaii Pacific Health, and DSE Hawaii. All right. Lots of stuff to get into today. We talked a lot of basketball yesterday, but I feel like today's show will be majority about football. There's a lot of NFL news happening, like starting yesterday, a bunch of stuff. As we know, the scouting combine happened or finished up this past weekend. And then there's different changes in mock drafts, which we'll get to a little bit later. There's also news about Saquon Barkley not being franchise tagged. So he's another running back that is going to be available in free agency. And there's a bunch of good ones. So we'll get you all of that to go through. Russell Wilson will no longer be in Denver. That's kind of what everyone was speculating, but it was announced officially yesterday.
I think so.
Yeah,
yes.
Around yesterday. More news on where Kirk Cousins could potentially land. And then, yeah, just a bunch of stuff. There's so much to get into. But one of the other news that kind of broke yesterday during the show, but we didn't get to it, Taylor Swift's future brother-in-law, Jason Kelce, officially announced his retirement yesterday. So the future Hall of Famer who will be eligible in 2029, and a lot of everyone saying, yep, he's got to be a first ballot Hall of Famer to get in there right away, announced his retirement. Everyone had, I guess, announced it for him following when they got knocked out of the playoffs, but he did what he, in his own time, in the press conference, did what he wanted to do. So Jason Kelce announces his retirement from football. And before we kind of talk about his career and, of course, all of the other NFL news to get into, here is a little snippet of what he had to, probably my favorite part of what he said during his press conference that was held yesterday to announce his retirement. And then you'll hear it from his own words that he announced his retirement. So this is a little bit of what Jason Kelce had to say.
I won't forget the Eagles' Christmas party in 2014 and heading out afterwards with a bunch of my teammates to Buffalo Billiards, where my life would change forever. That night, I'd meet my future wife. I still remember the moment she walked through the door. The first instance is burned in my retina. It was like she glided through the opening, an aura around her. Then she started talking. And I thought, man, is this what love feels like? She was beautiful and smart, serious yet playful. I knew it right away. I think it's no coincidence I have enjoyed my best years of my career with Kylie by my side. Every accolade I have ever received has come with her in my life. She has brought the best out of me through love, devotion, support, honesty, intelligence, and of course, a swift kick in the ass from time to time. She has also given me three beautiful girls and a life that increasingly brings me more fulfillment off the field than it does on. We've had a great run, Kai. I am a product of my upbringing. I think one of the best things a person can be in this world is a father. A father who is present, loving, devoted, just may be the greatest gift a child could ask for in our society. And I have a damn good one. My father believed in me more than anyone. He believed in my brother. And whenever my own insecurities would arise or self-doubt would come in, he would stifle them with the warm embrace of belief, unwavering love and belief. My father worked in the steel industry in Cleveland for the majority of his life. I remember him taking me into a plant one time and standing in awe of the molten steel and watching a giant ladle containing a bunch of it hover over our heads just feet away. The heat radiated when the molten steel was in sight. And I remember thinking how utterly amazing my father's work was. He was the man and continues to be the man and father I strive to be. My mother was a part of a generation of females that was largely the first of their families to go to college. When deciding to go to college, her own father said he disagreed with the idea. She should become a secretary or be a wife. In fact, the only thing that convinced him into letting her go to college was my grandmother's insistence that my mother would find an educated man to settle down with, and that would mean more money for the family. Mom took the opportunity to go to college and graduated from the Ohio University, worked in banking for over 40 years, climbing the corporate ladder from teller to a VP, and was largely the breadwinner for our family. I like to think I got my toughness, aggression, and lunch pail mentality from my father. And from my mother, I learned the all too important lesson of never letting anyone tell you what you can't do. And so this all brings us here to today, where I announce I am retiring from the NFL after 13 seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles. And today, I must admit, I am officially overrated, vastly overrated. But fuck, it took a lot of hard work and determination getting here. I have been the underdog my entire career, and I mean this when I say it, I wish I still was. Few things gave me more joy than proving someone wrong. My mother used to tell people, and still says to this day, if you want Jason to do something, all you have to do is tell him he can't. And that was true in more ways than I care to admit. I relished doubters. They fueled a fire within. I suspect that comes from an upbringing where my parents would tell me, Jason, you can do, you can be anything in this world you want to, as long as you put your mind to it and work hard to achieve it.
Well, that was like the best portion of the entire like 40-minute speech, and it was all consecutively after each other. Jason Kelce retiring from the NFL, drafted in the 6th round by the Philadelphia Eagles back in April of 2011. But every part of that, and it just kind of shows why the Kelce brothers are just the way that they are. And a lot of, you know, talk in the NFL, and I've seen stuff, and a lot of people that know them say the same thing. You know, like, I get it from the outside. You see Jason Kelce, depending how you feel about it, I think it's awesome, but going shirtless at the game, like chugging beers. And then you have Travis Kelce always out, like having a good time, and now having a good time with Taylor Swift. But everyone says that they are genuinely like the nicest and genuine human beings, like in person, very, very down to earth. So I'm excited for the future of Jason Kelce because they've really grown their podcast. They have a lot. Their future is bright for things where they don't have to worry about sacrificing their body. He mentioned his wife, Kylie, and that part made me chuckle, though, when he said, I just remember it when she walked through the door. And I'm like, Jason, that's not really the story that you talked about on the podcast.
Because no, but it sounds a lot sweeter.
Yeah, it does sound a lot sweeter. For those that don't know, basically, so they met on a dating app and he was wasted at the bar and she came and he like passed out at the bar on their first date. That's kind of the easy way to say what happened, like just how they said it. Look it up on YouTube or something. But it was
very cute and fun clip, but it is a little bit different than
what
an angel walking through the door. though he probably did feel that way, especially considering the state that he was in.
Oh, but it's awesome to see. And of course, him, you know, talking about his parents really hit home for both of us here in the studio. You know, Paul and I talk extensively about how amazing our parents are and our upbringing. And he starts by saying, you know, one of the greatest things that a person can be is a father. And, you know, then I'm like watching this and I'm like tearing too because I had an amazing father. I know Paul does too. And just the upbringing that we have, and then talking about his mom and how his mom, you know, grew up in the time where her dad didn't want her to go to college because that's just not what that just wasn't the place for women back then. Like, women were supposed to be homemakers and wives and all the men moms and all that stuff. And she did what she wanted to do, told Jason, you can do whatever you wanted to do. Same thing like how I went through. You just put your mind through it, and the doubters is what gets you even more motivated than you already are. So just an all-around exciting time. Happy for Jason Kelce and this new venture into his life, at least now. Yeah, he has, I'm sure TV networks are just chomping at the bit, giving him offers, wanting him to be a part of something, national networks, probably podcast networks, maybe the Pat McAfee show. I don't know, because
he needs to go into media in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Because he is, just listen to his entire speech. I mean, he's a writer. Like, he is somebody who can string together words with the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also somebody who's relatable, and that's, at least from my point of view, is somebody I want on my TV screen, over my airwaves, is somebody who is relatable, somebody who is real, and somebody who is knowledgeable. And
yep.
I would argue that he fits all three and much, much more.
Yeah, and good example. Again, he's happily married man, good father to his three girls. And that's another thing too, right? We always talk about Travis and Taylor. I mean, Kylie Kelce, she's amazing. I think she was a lacrosse player, if I'm not mistaken. Field hockey. Yeah, so that's probably why she's so cool, because she's like really tough, because that's a tough sport in field hockey. But anyways, Jason Kelce announcing his retirement. Wanted to play that snippet for you. That was, I'm not telling Paul that's the clip I was going to play, but when we started it, he too said that was his favorite part of Jason's entire 40-minute speech. If you guys want to see it, go to the Philadelphia Eagles page on YouTube and they have his entire announcement. All right, got to step aside. When we come back, we will get into more, like, just plethora of NFL news that's been happening within the last 48 hours when we come back on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Kukule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
It's another fiery afternoon, so hot, so hotter than welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Kukule Agbayani and Paul Brecht getting you guys caught up with all the stuff happening in the NFL. Like, it's crazy. With the new league year starting next week, actually, this is why everything is coming down the pipe. All these teams are making the changes, and knowing what they know following the NFL scouting combine that happened over the weekend. So this is throughout this next week and a half, we will likely see, this won't be the last of what is going on in the
NFL.
We're
about to get a flurry.
Yeah, it is. That's okay. We're here for it. We love it. We love telling you guys about it. All right, let's start with the quarterback news. All right, so Russell Wilson, it was officially announced by the Denver Broncos that his time in Denver is over after just two seasons. General manager George Patton and coach Sean Payton said in a joint statement, quote, "On behalf of the Broncos, we thank Russell for his contributions and dedication to our team and community, while wishing him the best as he continues his career." So they announced that they would release the veteran after the start of the new league year on March 13th. So as a result of them parting ways with, I mean, they gave him that massive deal, Denver will eat $39 million, but avoid a $37 million guaranteed trigger for the 2025 season that would have taken effect this month. The Broncos will take on $85 million in total dead salary cap over the next 2 years by releasing Wilson, which will be the largest dead cap hit in NFL history. So tell me a deal did not work out well without telling me it did not work out well. Just look at Russell Wilson. And it's kind of unfortunate, right, that everything happened, like him leaving Seattle, but then Sean Payton coming in. And when you have a veteran head coach like Sean Payton and you're not necessarily choosing your guy, it can happen that way. And we've seen it. Russ just didn't look the same. I would say when we first started to see him in Denver, like, he just does not have that dog in him. But at the same time, it just looks like they didn't treat him the best. There was such a disconnect there in Denver. So I think it's best for both sides. Russell Wilson essentially got paid. He'll land on his feet somewhere at another team. Denver, on the other hand, unfortunate for our Denver Bronco fans with $85 million in total dead salary cap, which for those maybe that are like, what is dead salary cap? It basically means the team still takes that cap hit, but you don't actually have that player that is on your team contributing to that salary cap. So that's why essentially it's dead money. So you're paying for nothing, but you still have to take a knock on that on your salary cap. So unfortunately for the Broncos, luckily the salary cap goes up by $30 million, but at the same time, $85 million. Whew.
It going up by $30 million only helps them absorb the hit of the contract, kind of. Like you said, it's over $30 million this year and next year. It is not a good deal. If we look back on it, it's probably going to go down as one of the worst trades in NFL history. If that, like, without winning a Super Bowl for either side, obviously. But you sit here, you look at what they gave up with picks, you look at what they gave up in players, and you look up what they gave up in money, and now it's only to set them back almost arguably further than they were before trading for Russell Wilson. Like you said, Russell will be fine. He'll land on his feet somewhere. I don't know where yet, but we'll figure that on out. There are plenty of seats on the quarterback carousel still to be filled. So, you know, maybe he goes to Pittsburgh. Maybe he goes and he sits as a backup for a year. Maybe it doesn't matter for him because he's, once again, making a lot of money to not play for the Broncos this next year. So Russ will be fine. It is great for both sides to just put an end to this era because it was very clearly not working for either side. Russ, I don't think, was as bad this year as he gets credit for.
Yeah, he looked better this year than he did his first year, for sure.
But that doesn't necessarily mean he's this elite quarterback anymore. So I'm curious where he ends up. Either way, the Broncos are a team to watch for potentially a trade-up in this year's draft for a quarterback. They currently sit at 12th, I think. Maybe it's 11th. It's them and the Vikings sitting at 11 and 12, I believe. One of them, good chance, trades up. And that's kind of where I see a J.J. McCarthy going at like 8 overall, or 7 overall, 9 overall, 10 overall, somewhere in that range where that team, one of those two teams, trades up. And the Broncos, with Sean Payton in the building, I have a hard time seeing him not try and take his guy. Whether that be J.J. McCarthy or not, it remains to be seen. It just, that feels like who QB4 is going to be and potentially QB3 in this end of draft.
Yeah, it is almost like a perfect storm this year because you have such a deep quarterback class coming up. And then at the same time, you have these veteran quarterbacks that are likely going to not be on their teams next year. obviously, like we said, Russell Wilson. So he could be a target for, yeah, like the Steelers. However, the Steelers for a long time, or not a long time, but there were rumors about the trade for Justin Fields from the Chicago Bears, because all things point to, thankfully, that the Bears will draft Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick. However, Kirk Cousins, we talked extensively about how Justin Fields would look good and would fit in Atlanta, but now there's rumors that Kirk Cousins could end up in Atlanta because, well, and they were talking about this on the Gojo show before this, that comes on before we do. Just, I guess his wife is from Georgia. We talked about how Justin Fields would be going home. So he obviously, too, will get paid. If there's one thing that Kirk Cousins knows how to do, is get paid.
And fully guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed. He's probably signed, like, the best deals throughout his career. So it'll be interesting to see where some of these veteran quarterbacks end up. Again, because depending on where these teams are in the draft and how much you're willing to give up to move a few spots to get a quarterback in this draft class, there is a lot of moving pieces and a lot of things that could happen because this is a class that is so deep. Because when you look at next year's class, it is nowhere near as good as this year's class. So there are a lot of things that teams have to consider. Or do you go for someone like a Justin Fields, where he is still a young quarterback, he moves around, and he, depending on where he goes, where he's going to fit. Now, Ryan Poles, GM of the Chicago Bears, almost went quiet, as he should, during the scouting combine, wanting to pay attention to everything that's going on. Now talks have begun again, supposedly, according to, you know, Twitter, but we all know how true that is. But it's just interesting to see, with Russell Wilson being thrown into the mix, Justin Fields is clearly in there, Kirk Cousins being somewhat in there. This is going to be an interesting, like I just said, an interesting week and a half on what these teams do. And there are a lot of teams that need quarterbacks and proving, I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, and we'll talk about the running backs in the next segment, but the Kansas City Chiefs aren't doing anybody any favors by showing that, hey, maybe it's the quarterback tight end thing and that you really need instead of the running backs, which I think is why the trend that we're seeing where, unfortunately, the value has decreased, because you see a Kansas City Chiefs team who hasn't had that dominant running back in their most recent Super Bowl.
They don't have a Derrick Henry. They don't have a Saquon Barkley.
So it's like, oh,
McCaffrey.
I guess we don't really need that type of guy. But again, we'll save the running back conversation for the next segment. So that's why it's interesting that now teams reevaluating again the importance of a quarterback, which we already knew. But when you see a team like Kansas City that's won another Super Bowl without a quarterback or a running back, a dominant one, and you just need to make sure your guy under center can do his job on top with good coaching and at least some targets and a good defense. I'm so fascinated to see how this next week goes and this quarterback carousel and the chances that teams take on certain guys and where Justin Fields lands, because he's kind of that guy in the sweet spot. You know, he has some years under his belt, but he's still really young. He moves around the pocket like some of these quarterbacks that are coming into the league in this draft. And he's a very different player from your Russell Wilson and your Kirk Cousins. So, man, this is going to be fun.
I heard somebody put it like this, where we're going to get a few answers to the test before the draft in these upcoming weeks. And I thought that was a pretty perfect way of putting it, where you look at, right now we have all of these questions, right? And there are so many different potential answers, but we're all fans. Like, at the end of the day, we're all fans. Even reporters and media people, like, they don't have any pull on what moves teams will end up making. We just report them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start to get answers, and free agency changes the draft significantly in the first few days of that free agency period, where you do start to see those quarterback spots get filled up, and it becomes a little clearer who might be taking a quarterback at the top of the draft, who might be taking a wide receiver, who, like, the needs are a lot more prevalent, we'll call it, where right now, I mean, there's obviously two different avenues to refill your team with talent between the draft and, like I mentioned, free agency. And with your pro talent, with your Justin Fields, you have a known commodity at the NFL level compared to what you hope is potential. It's our favorite game. You could have the box or, you know, this. Do you want what's in the box? And that's kind of what the draft
mystery box.
Is. That's what the draft is compared to free agency, where you could have something phenomenal in Drake May, in Jaden Daniels, in Michael Penix, in J.J. McCarthy. Or you could take a guy that you know can produce at the NFL level in a Justin Fields, but maybe you don't think he can produce at a top 12 quarterback level. So those are the conversations going on in rooms, and that's why you see a Russell Wilson get cut this early, where now he can go fill a role ahead of free agency or in free agency ahead of the draft, where he's not being put in a bad spot. It's why Ryan Poles wants to figure out the future of Justin mm-hmm. Fields sometime this week, so that Fields isn't sitting in limbo, and also so the Bears have the best full field of options to trade him out, rather than just a couple of teams who are desperate to fill their quarterback role after free agency
maybe
is done.
Maybe they'll trade them to the Broncos now. I don't know.
It's possible.
It'll be interesting because, yeah, at least it's out there. I personally think you keep Justin Fields and then you have Justin Fields and Caleb Williams, but I understand you want to get the best bang for your buck and, you know, trading him now when there's a lot of quarterback needy teams, such as when you look at the Steelers, right? You have teams that are deeper in the first round like the Steelers, where there is no way that they can trade up high enough to get one of these top quarterbacks, because right now they're sitting at pick number 20. They would have to give up a lot to move up as much as they would need to get one of these top rookie quarterbacks, hence why they are always in the mix and in the discussion on landing one of these quarterbacks in free agency like Justin Fields and maybe potentially Kirk Cousins, and because they clearly need one. They tried a lot of things last year that did not work out well for the Steelers, but at the same time, you know, they have one of the best coaches in the NFL, so they still continue to be successful, which we always talk about on this show. But
did you know young Steelers fans want to trade away Mike Tomlin? They want to get rid of Mike Tomlin. They're like, whoa, I know he's good, but no playoff success, so we should trade him. I saw that from multiple places on social media, like both Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, all of that, where you see like these young fans, and when I say young fans, I mean like 18 and under type fans pitching that. And I shake my head. Because like you said, I also believe Mike Tomlin is a top 3 coach in the NFL? Is that fair to say? I think so. Especially being that Belichick's not going to be in the NFL this year.
Yeah. And like, I gained all that more respect for Mike Tomlin after we found out how much of a nutcase Antonio Brown was. And us to not know that for so long. I mean, one time he did like go live or whatever in the locker room. And then that got squashed.
Like a regular
that squashed real
thing,
fast. But then after he left the Steelers, you're like, whoa!
Dude went off the rails.
How did this happen? Mike Tomlin, you were able to control that in your locker room, so he deserves a lot of credit. And it's not all on the head coach to get the pieces in the draft. They have somewhat of a say, but it ultimately goes to the general manager. And for Mike Tomlin to be able to string together winning season after winning season, I mean, we're Bears and Jets fans in here, so we know how it is to not have winning seasons back to back to back to back. And what we would give to just feel like every season we have a chance. And yeah, maybe they squeak into the playoffs and lose in the wild card round. Guess what? Still in the playoffs.
I would kill to see the playoffs again, Ku. I cannot put it into words what it would be like to see a Jets playoff game again.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, so we'll see if they are able to get one of the quarterbacks. But we got to step aside. When we come back, we will talk about the running backs and the plethora of RBs that are currently up for free agency, with the most recent one being Saquon Barkley of the New York Football Giants. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuhle Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Lights and falling through an hourglass. I'm waiting for you, baby.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Brecht. I'm Kule Ugbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. Don't forget, you can text us at 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481. Text us about whatever. I just realized I forgot to change out the music this morning, but that's okay. It's good songs.
Good music.
Good, yeah. Who cares? So who cares? but we always like to have fun with the music. But yes, we're talking about the beautiful game that is football, specifically the NFL. Spoke about the Jason Kelce retirement earlier. We were talking about the quarterbacks. One of the other news to come down the pipe this morning, which will somewhat segue perfectly into the running back discussion, because it's what I briefly brought up when talking about the quarterbacks in the previous segment, that the Texans have agreed to terms on a deal to keep tight end Dalton Schultz in Houston. He gets a 3-year, $36 million new contract with $23.5 million fully guaranteed at signing. Schultz is a key weapon of quarterback C.J. Stroud. So what I was saying earlier, when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs and what they've been able to do with the Mahomes-Kelce quarterback to tight end situation and how successful they've been, and of course you have Andy Reid, you look at how well the Texans surprised everyone and how well they did last season with C.J. Stroud, clearly their franchise quarterback, their quarterback of the future. Now you want to lock him in with the tight end as well, and so it kind of is true to what I was saying. Unfortunate for the running backs now. It's changed the game plan and how they manage. These teams are going to manage their contracts, because you look, and gone feels like the days where we're like, oh yeah, Derrick Henry is totally going to be someone to win you a Super Bowl. And as you mentioned earlier, Christian McCaffrey, who was on the team that made it to the Super Bowl, but they were beat by a better quarterback. And not taking anything away from the defense that Kansas City did have, but at the end of the day, you need to score more points than the other team. So that's what Kansas City was able to do. But coming down this morning, that Saquon Barkley, another key running back that got all the praise, as he should, phenomenal athlete, had to deal with some injuries and whatnot during his time in New York, but he becomes a free agent as well. So when you look at some of these running backs that just a few years ago, it feels like we're like, oh yeah, these are like the best running backs we've ever seen, yada, yada, yada. They're totally going to put the team on their back. Now none of them have a team. You have Derrick Henry, who's probably the top running back that's currently available. You have Tony Pollard, who became available last week, I feel like. And then you have Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, DeAndre Swift, Devin Singletary, Ezekiel Elliott, who his prime is probably gone by now, but Austin Eckler, Gus Edwards, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, Dalvin Cook, all of these names that it feels like not too long ago, we were just like, oh man, this guy's going to get paid and they're so good, yada, 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 yada. But now being that Saquon gets added to this list of available running backs in free agency, it becomes a switch in the mindset, and seeing how the mock draft shape up as well, where you're just seeing a bunch of obviously quarterbacks, as you should, wide receivers and defensive guys, including some of the best edge rushers. So it's just the way that the trend has gone with the way that teams have won Super Bowls. I mean, when you talk about edge rushers and you look at, you know, Aaron Donald with the LA Rams, and it's been an unfortunate past, what, 5-10 years for running backs where the value has since dropped.
Yeah, we are gone are the days of your Barry Sanders, your Curtis mm-hmm. Martins, your Emmitt Smith, so on and so forth, the 80s, the 90s, and even early 2000s of football, where dominant running games and a bell cow in your backfield is really what you need to win football games. Now, it is far more on typically the right arm, but on the arms of quarterbacks and the legs of, like you said, these bigger wide receivers, these tight ends, these, you know, I don't even know what to call them. They're insane athletes. And then defensively, there's a reason why, like you mentioned, with edge rushers, all of the big deals have gone to the big time guys who can get to the quarterback and not so much the run stuffers, because mm-hmm. stopping the run, of course, and it always will be very, very important. A good running game, always very, very important. But when you get the amount of miles that these guys get on their legs so, so quickly. You understand why teams start to reset that clock. We talk about the quarterback contract clock and how you reset that. And while running backs are not as expensive, you have to also remember trimming money at the margins. If you can find a guy in the fifth round who can give you the same type of, you know, explosion that a Tony Pollard gives you, the same type of explosion. I mean, Austin Eckler was an undrafted free agent and now is expected to be one of the top free agent running backs on the market. You know, that's where the great running backs can be found all the way late into the draft, which in the end kind of screws them over in free agency, because then all of the teams look at the exact same way. Well, why should we pay you if we can do the exact same thing we just did and just throw another dart and probably get a pretty good guy? So I'm really interested to see how this running back class shakes out for free agency, because Schefter, one, gets paid by, you know, agent. He's doing favors for agents when he's like, oh, best free agent and best running back free agent class in history. Yeah. Maybe. But also, there are a lot of really good names who are all looking for new places, and not all of them are going to get what they want. And it's scary for the running back position. You're going to have to see somebody kind of change it and revolutionize it, because we just saw, a couple of running backs go in the first round this past year, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs.
I was going to bring up Bijan Robinson because we talk all about how the Falcons need a quarterback and how they're in discussions. They definitely don't need a running back, and other teams are looking at like, man, I can just get a super cheap guy that could end up being as good as Bijan Robinson, who just was not used the right way. Like with Arthur Smith, he could have done so much more, but his talent was there. We saw it the first game he ever like played, and you're like, this guy is amazing. And he disappeared a little bit in the season because, again, the coaching thing was just a debacle. But now they're resetting. But you're a team that looks at that and you're like, oh, I can get a steal in the draft and get fresh young legs, as opposed to some of these other quarterbacks that are closer to 30.
But it's also part of the reason you don't see a lot of first round running backs go anymore. It's a big reason why the Giants caught a lot of flack when they drafted Saquon Barkley second overall that year, in a draft that had multiple quarterbacks go in the top 10, four, I think, in the top 10, because it was Baker, Sam, Darnold, shout out, Josh Allen, and Josh Rosen going.
Oh my gosh, Josh Rosen, yeah, I forgot about him.
A blast from the past for you. But those four quarterbacks ended up going in the top 10. The Giants caught a lot of flack, and now they might just be letting Saquon walk. And with reports coming out, they're frustrated with Daniel Jones. Buyer's remorse is the phrase that continues to pop up with that Daniel Jones contract. You're like, oh man, why wouldn't we want to take a quarterback early on? And it continues the point of the running back position, while still very valuable, is less valuable at the top of the market, at the top of the draft. And that's really, really scary for those players.
This is going to be fun. All right, we got to step aside for our final break. But when we come back, we will close things out looking at some other NFL news and the post-combine mock drafts and futures odds, because it's never too early to look at those. Next on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Spread a little aloha, everybody. Alongside Paul Brecht, I'm Kuule Ogbayani. It's Wake Up in the Den on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. Reminder that you can listen to this show, all of our local play-by-play, the sports rivals with Monty and Ernie on HawaiiSportsRadio.com or wherever you get most podcasts. All right, we're talking all about the NFL today because there are just so much news coming down the pipe. We were mentioning how the quarterback tight end connection and pass rushers seem to be the targets and what franchises have now put the value on, and the value for running backs have since gone down, unless you're team does not necessarily have the best quarterback, because about 15 minutes ago, Panthers will release tight end Hayden Hurst at beginning of the new league year, but the Panthers are still figuring things out. Because as we mentioned earlier with the Texans committing to their franchise quarterback and giving him the tight end and one of his favorite targets. But when we talk about pass rushers, the Jags are expected to place the franchise tag on pass rusher Josh Allen, and he's on the books for 1 year and $24 million. The team has expressed confidence in getting a long-term deal done, doubling down what we mentioned before, that that's what teams now are focused on. And the other pass rusher, Paul?
Brian Burns of the Panthers as well, where the Panthers, like you mentioned before, trying to figure stuff out. And one guy in the building who they do have figured it out, it's Brian Burns. They're still trying to bang out a long-term deal. And in my opinion, they should have traded him for the two first-round picks that the Rams offered them this past season, especially being that there have been rumors that they might not be able to bang out a deal this offseason. Would be very concerning if I was a Carolina Panthers fan, especially one without a first-round pick after it got traded to some team. I forget who, you know. So it continues on about our conversation about edge rushers and the importance of getting to the quarterback in this passing league, where Brian Burns and Josh Allen not expected to be able to leave either of their respected teams or respective teams. And good, because Josh Allen, a phenomenal edge rusher for the Jags, had 17 and a half sacks this past year, 33 quarterback hits, just an absolute menace on defense. And Brian Burns, very similar in the fact that he lives in the backfield. He eats opposing tackles for lunch. Good for both of those teams. Oh my god. But yeah, both of those teams with a good use of their franchise tags. I believe today or tomorrow is the final day to use the franchise tag on players before the window closes. So gonna see a whole bevy of moves today, because I think another defensive lineman as well, Ravens' Justin Madubuike, defensive tackle, being franchise tagged today. So a lot of the big boys on the D-line getting some money, which, good for them. We love our big boys.
Yeah, but and more importantly, what the heck kind of word was
we're
that?
We're creating
but,
words today.
More importantly, because it's the start of the new league year next week, this is the reason why all these moves are happening and franchise tagging and people or players being released and whatnot, is because a lot of teams are over the salary cap as it is. So the rule is, in layman's terms, once the new league year starts, you need to be under the salary cap. Even though it has gone up, you still need to be under that number, and some teams are currently over. So that's why we see what we're starting to see throughout this next week on all of these moves happening, because that's important to be under the salary cap. All right, taking a look at the, now we're post scouting combine, looking at the mock draft via Pro Football Focus, putting a lot of focus on the quarterback class. No surprise there. Caleb Williams going number one overall to the Chicago Bears. Let's go. Chicago. Apparently, he did very well in like his interviews with teams, so that's good to hear, because
it's not shocking.
All of the fake checkmark people that live on social media have been throwing out all of these wild things that Caleb Williams is like the worst like person ever, but apparently everything went well with the team, so everything is looking good so far with him going number one overall to the Chicago Bears. This is an interesting one, but Paul made a good point where Pro Football Focus is in love with this quarterback, being Drake May from UNC. They have him projected to go number two overall to the Washington Commanders. And when I said that, Paul was like, well, that's because PFF is in love with Drake May, just like I am, is what Paul
they
said.
They are, and they should be. Drake May is going to be good, and I don't understand why so many people doubt that.
I have no opinion, because I really have not spent enough time watching him yet. Hopefully I can find some time and see, you know, go back and look at some of the highlights, but I just, when I see UNC quarterback, it does not go well with any of our Chicago Bears fans, so I will reserve any actual opinion until I am able to sit down and see just how he moves and how he plays. But New England Patriots, now they get Jaden Daniels, quarterback from LSU. The Cardinals have the fourth overall pick, and being that they seem to have committed to their current quarterback in Kyler Murray, this kills me so much, but it's the best choice for the Arizona Cardinals in Marvin Harrison Jr., the top wide receiver in this year's class, to give Kyler Murray an incredible target to work with. Chargers, with a lot of pieces, they clearly have their quarterback, they have their new head coach. Now they need a little bit more weapons for Justin Herbert, projected for Malik Nabers, LSU Tigers wide receiver. I kind of like that too.
Nabers would probably be a number one like wideout prospect in 8 to 9 other drafts. It just happens that Maserati Marv is in the same draft as him. So he's unfortunately going to be number two on the wide receiver big board.
This is one that I like, and we've talked about him extensively. I know he's a favorite of our associate head coach at the University of Hawaii because he is a former Bishop Gorman kid. Rome Odunze out of Washington, they have him projected to go to the New York Football Giants, and he's one where the combine really helped his draft stock. A lot of people were very impressed by what he did, and also when he was doing like the cone drill, like he wanted to make sure he tried to get under a number, like he stayed out there to try to get a number. So all of those little things that teams notice only help your draft stock. So Rome, even though we've been talking about him forever and he's one of our favorites, clearly he's starting to become one of the favorites for these teams, now projected to be the 6th overall pick to the New York Giants, who they need some major help, especially no Saquon Barkley.
Everywhere.
You need to give Daniel Jones something to make his money worth it.
I wouldn't be surprised to see the Giants trade up, by the way, for a quarterback.
That's true, too.
Like, just by the way,
give that up. I mean,
the Patriots at number 3, because I don't think the Patriots are 100% sold on a quarterback in this class, being that unless their guy falls to them at 3, then they can drop back to 6. They draft a, you know, Joe Alt or a wide receiver or whoever and so on, and the Giants don't have to give up too much to get a quarterback. It's my guess of this moment. But also the Giants need so much help that like Rome Odunze would be a phenomenal pick at 6, and you don't have to give up any draft capital for a team that has some holes to fill.
Yeah. Speaking of Joe Alt, he would go 7th overall to the Tennessee Titans. Again, this is the mock draft via Pro Football Focus. Offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. Going number 8 to the Atlanta Falcons, Jared Verse. Is it Verse?
Jared Verse.
Verse.
Fun fact about him, former Albany Great Dane.
Ooh,
he transferred to Florida State this past offseason.
That's right. So, edge rusher out of Florida State going to the Falcons.
Some breaking news. The Bears are placing their franchise tag on cornerback Jalen Johnson. So they will, they'll have some extra time to bang out a deal with him, just so you know.
Okay. And which brings me, that's perfect timing, brings me to the Chicago Bears with the 9th overall pick. Doubling down on what we've been saying about quarterbacks and tight ends, projected to take Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. So you have Caleb Williams, Brock Bowers, going to the same team
within
the top 10. Oh my gosh, please.
It would be a lot of fun. Especially like Cole Kmet is already there, I know.
He is,
but it would be super, super, super fun.
Oh my goodness. Anyways, we've got a few seconds left. So taking a look real quick at the futures market. Sorry. With 10th overall pick, Fashanu would go to the New York Jets. All right, really quick. I almost forgot Paul's team there. Still holding out as the favorite to win next year's Super Bowl are the 49ers, followed by the Chiefs, Ravens, Bills. But we got to go. For Paul Brecht, I'm Kule Agbayani. Mahalo for listening.